Keep cool out there, folks. It's going to be a hot one.
We the people love summer baseball. The food is over the top. The cheers come from the chest. We came with friends, but we met new ones. We have seats, but we're standing. They say it's anyone's game. But from what we can see, it's everyone's. Baseball for the people.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Just want to say quickly first, not that I think I need to, but I want to. I, like perhaps yourself, I'm loving this World Cup. Everything about it. I'm also remembering, this was a guy that I barely knew, but Talk Show Me is going, two goals for Harry Kane, two goals for Mbappe, three goals for Messi, two goals for Haaland, the stars, etc. Is this soccer's big moment in the United States? And we've had that conversation. People have had that conversation forever. And I had an editor in my newspaper days, Mike Ryan, and this was something that was told to me secondhand, but I've never forgotten it. He said, soccer is the fastest growing sport in America for the 35th year in a row.
Right.
And so I'm not ragging on it. I'm loving it.
I love it too, but I'm old enough to remember Pele and Franz Beckenbauer playing for the New York Cosmos being the thing that was going to bring soccer smashing to our consciousness. And, you know, I don't know, that was 50 years ago.
This is pretty hot, though.
Yes, this is awesome.
It's awesome.
I love everything about it.
Sal, I want to take your turn. Are you all in on World Cup so far?
I actually watched, like, more today than I would normally watch. I generally watch no soccer at all unless it's a, like, you know, international event and the United States is playing. I think it's cool. I love the pageantry of it. I'm not much into the game itself, the sport, but I do love that part of it. I like learning about the teams now in the World Cup. I'm in this World Cup pool with Bulldog and, you know, Jeremy and Joe. And are you in it, Mike?
Mike's in it too. Yep.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were in it. I'm sorry. And then, from that standpoint, I did actually watch some of the game today. We did watch Argentina last night with Messi. Max likes Messi and didn't realize he scored a hat trick till this morning. And yeah, so from that standpoint, I like the spectacle of it, and especially being in our country.
You were covering Bills practice while that draft was going on. So it's forgivable to me that you didn't know the entire roster of who's in and who's out in that thing.
He sniped me on Turkey, Sal.
Oh, I just went by betting odds. I really did. I kind of looked and said, who's left and what are the betting odds? Okay, that's the top team. I'm taking them.
I did a little of that, and I did not think at all about who was in which groups. Turns out two of my teams are in the same group, and they're both underdogs, and there's no way they're both coming out.
Uh-oh.
But I needed to draft Panama simply because I wanted to use that David Lee Roth image from the music video. So I had to do that.
I love it.
So that was it.
Hopefully that was worth it for you.
Yeah,
worth possibly losing.
We'll see tonight.
Yeah. Is it winner take all?
I don't know how our thing is working.
Okay.
I just said yes and didn't even know I was signing up for a draft.
Okay.
I do know this. I just watched Harry Kane put one off his head into the goal. I'm like, okay, that I think that dude is supposed to be really good. Like, hear Nick Mendola talk about him, how great he is. And okay, forgive me. Okay, this is not my expertise, and I'll fully admit that. And I'm going to sound like I'm going to sound really ignorant about this and like an idiot probably. But like, why is it so tough to defend those headers? Like, why is it so tough to defend those corner kicks and guys coming in and hitting it off their head? Like, it seems like it should be easier to defend. They're so good at doing it. And I'm like, that's amazing. But like, why do so many guys, why can they score on that so much?
I think that one was because he came from deep. Like, they weren't out there.
Yeah, he was way off the play and came in. And I am assuming that was a set. Like, it was just the player kicking the ball. Kicked it there for Kane to come roaring in.
Somebody from Croatia could say, however, let's make sure to mark that guy.
Yeah, let's, like, where's Kane?
Where's nine?
Right, yeah.
But I liked how as soon as he hit it, he went right to the flag to celebrate. Like, it wasn't in the net yet, and he was already running to the corner.
He walked it in.
For the celebration. There's a guy who's done that before, I think, that guy.
Yeah.
All right, Sal, well, this is not that any of this necessarily will be, actually, but a new topic for us, the three of us together, and that's the secondary. That's your latest update, state of the Bills, the safety position. Lay it out for fans here. Like, just how will it line up? No Taron Johnson anymore. Rapp is gone. What about, you know, Hairston's status? There's a lot to think about here.
Yeah, so I wrote about both corner and safety over the last few days this week, so we could touch on both here. And I'll start with outside corner. We do have to separate them, outside versus slot, you know, obviously. So I'll start with outside corner. I still think you have three, and then who else? Like, there's room for another outside corner on this roster. Benford and Hairston should walk into training camp as the starters. But certainly, as we've talked about, I think that IGB could give Hairston a run for his money if Hairston can't stay healthy, or they just really like his game. They drafted him because they really like the traits that he brings, things like that. I think Max Hairston also had a really good OTA and minicamp from what I saw, and I think that he's up to this task. So let's see. That should be a good battle and a fun battle. Nothing wrong with having three guys you really like. Nothing wrong with having an option there, and guys are going to get hurt. We know that. That's happened. So those are the top three. And we can slice and dice Hairston and IGB and debate what could happen there, and let's see it play out in the field. Who's behind them? Toriano Pride, a seventh-round pick? Kari Walker, an undrafted free agent? Jordan Dunbar, an undrafted free agent? They don't have anybody. To Corey Couch, who's really more of a slot, but they've used him on the outside in camp. He's been with the team a couple years. Like, guys, I just don't know who that fourth corner is right now. And I think you have to dress four corners, you know. You generally do. Yep. You dress four corners, outside corners, in games. And I think it's really interesting here. And obviously the name Tre'Davious White comes up. He's still unsigned. They have not given his number out. Whether it's Tre'Davious White or someone else, I think that they would keep a veteran on speed dial to ready to call, but they'll probably give this seventh round pick Toriano Pride every shot in the world to see what he does before doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much positional flexibility. I'm just looking at the depth chart, and Jordan Hancock is the name listed behind D. Elford, so that slot corner, I'll bet if he could play outside corner, maybe we'd know that, and you'd be mentioning this as a part of this conversation. So yeah, I wonder about another guy. I said earlier, Sal, and you phrased it the way you did, talking about Hairston and Igbinison. Like, I'm almost bracing for Igbinison to beat him out, just because. I mean, it's the new coaching staff, the new system. It seems, you know, he's their guy. They drafted. They didn't draft, you know, Brandon Bean did, but did not draft Maxwell Hairston. And I just wonder if the writing's already on the wall there.
I don't think so. I think that Maxwell Hairston will have every shot to maintain that job, hold down that job. But I absolutely think that as time goes on, that could happen. I don't think it's necessarily right away. Now, sure, could it? Yeah. I don't think it's something they're just going to hand to Igbinosin, IGB, people want to call him just so we know who we're referring to here. I don't think it's not something they're going to hand to him or even nudge him to be ahead of him. I think this is Maxwell Hairston's job. Walking in a training camp, he's got to lose it. And I think they do like his traits, what he has. They're not just going to put IGB on the field just because he's long and has some of these traits. He's got to go and prove it. I think the biggest thing with Hairston might be the injuries, and he's smaller, and if he can hold up. So if we're having this conversation around Halloween, Thanksgiving, I'll give it – I think that could very well be the case, Bulldog. I'd be a little surprised if it happened right away, but certainly – if IGB comes in, I mean, IGB reminds me a little bit of like Dorian Strong, who they drafted last year. And unfortunately, we know now he's going to miss the season again. He's going to be on IR all year. You know, this really kind of threw the corner long-term plan into flux here. And I think IGB does kind of give off a lot of what we saw and what we felt about Dorian Strong last year when he was actually showing that he could play football and be on the field and have these kinds of traits. Now it's a new defense, obviously. No, Jordan Hancock can't play outside. He's either a slot corner or a safety. Mm-hmm. At this point, I don't know where they're going to put him. I think slot corner is where I have him, and that's what he's going to be, I should say. But, I mean, it's another year, I think, where I just don't see he's going to be on the field that much and, you know, maybe not even active on game day if he makes the roster.
Well, there is, not only in your words, but in your voice, there is some concern, I guess, about depth, at least, in the secondary. And the question eventually becomes, how exploitable are they? And we don't know that yet. That's if the rookie's good and the veterans hold up and are making plays for them like Gardner Johnson has done in his career, then I think, you know, you might be fine. But one other piece of this is whether the balance between pass defense and run defense on the Bills changes, because they've been, as we've talked about as well, elite against the pass for almost a decade, and against the run maybe was overstated how vulnerable they were or the importance of that, but it, you know, that wasn't on the same level. So I don't know. Do you think philosophically that might change, that might shift?
Yes. I think that, I'm not going to say okay. Nobody's okay with giving up big plays, right? But I think if they have more big plays made but more big plays given up, that might be a trade-off they're willing to have, versus where Sean McDermott, and when he was the head coach, that's just non-negotiable. You don't give up big plays. You know what I mean? Like, we would take the trade-off of not giving them up by not.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
In not getting them, I think this might be a new philosophy of, we're going to make big plays. You know what? That might come at the expense of giving some up. And I think the Bills might be okay, more okay with that now than they have been in the past, if that makes sense. So I expect that. I think we use the term, what, high event in hockey? Is that what it is? High event?
Right? High event, low event. Yeah, sure.
I think we're looking at a high event defense this year. I do. I think you're going to look at a high event, maybe even a high event team where they have Josh Allen. Matt Bove and I, when we did the pod last week, we were talking about this very thing. And he made a really good point when Bradley Chubb was signed. We did a Zoom call with him. Bradley Chubb from the outside. Now, this is a guy who played for the Miami Dolphins against the Bills for the last several years. So it's his perspective now. So it's really interesting, and I think probably should be, you know, taken for something here. He said, you know, for the last several years, the Bills' defense was just, don't get in the way. You know, don't get in the way. And do what you have to do to let, you know, Josh Allen and company do what they have to do. Whereas now, he's coming into a situation where they've been told, no, we're going to go out and try and win games too. Like, well, that's on us. We got to go make plays. We got to win games. Well, I think making those plays, the trade-off could be that you also give up some plays.
Yeah, you know, I really wonder about that. We were talking earlier here, Sal, really, I think at the open of our show, about, like, with the defense, I like how you put it there, like, high event. Like, maybe with... if the defense, you know, isn't up to snuff, they feel they need to pass more to be in high event type games. And maybe that ends up being the thing that sort of gets them over the hump. If they lean into Josh Allen a little bit more, instead of trying to sort of lean on the defense, play keep away, right, run the ball. I'm not saying they abandon the run, but maybe it's not. Maybe they're not like on an island as a run first team in the league. Maybe they get back to trying to lean into Allen a little bit more.
I think you're going to see those higher, bigger plays, both positively and negatively on defense. And I also think you're going to see a spike in Josh Allen's numbers, both positively and negatively, thinking about all this, which I agree with you. I wouldn't be surprised if Josh has some incredible numbers put up, but I also wouldn't be surprised if maybe his turnovers or negative plays are a little bit more than what we've seen over the last several years. Again, a little bit more high event. Like, we have Josh Allen. We're going to go out and win games. What did Joe Brady say? Joe Brady said something really interesting, and he would never like say, you're not going to say something negative against Sean McDermott or something like that. But if you really pay attention, he kind of gave you a clue back when he was hired or shortly after that, which was he was asked about calling plays and, you know, how much freedom did you have, Sean McDermott being the defensive coach, you know, how much did he have a say in it? And Joe basically said, paraphrasing, hey, it was my offense. I called the plays I wanted to play to call. Mm-hmm. But certainly what he said was there was definitely more of a directive when they played better teams with better quarterbacks to not lose the game on offense. So what does that mean? You're kind of reining Josh in a little bit. You're reining the offense in. Be a little more conservative. Don't give them more opportunities. Don't give Patrick Mahomes. Don't give Joe Burrow, whoever it is, more opportunities. I think that's gone now, guys. I don't think Joe Brady gives a crap, honestly. I think he's like, I have Josh Allen. I'm going to go win the game, and I'm going to let Jim Leonard go win the game on defense. And that's why I think we're in for a wild ride.
Well, I don't hate the sound of it. Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. So part of this too, Sal, maybe this is more just how Jim Leonard sees defense and then now by extension the Bills, or also it lines up with certain trends in the league, you know, getting to a point where you might want to be better against the run. The teams are passing less or less efficiently at least. So the timing might be good.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, back to your question, Mike, about how good they've been against the pass, but they haven't been that good against the run, because that's kind of by design, right? Hey, we're not going to get beat over the top. We'll let you bleed for 10 plays because you're going to make a mistake, right? One of the things that happens is when we look at a run defense, we think about stopping the run. We all do this. We think about the middle of the field. We think about defensive tackle. We think about linebacker. Oh my God, they're so good in the middle. Actually, where the Bills really got hurt last year a lot was on the edges. The Bills couldn't stop the run on the edges a lot. A lot of that was Joey Bosa just being undisciplined. They just didn't do a good enough job of that. Greg Rousseau is a good run defender. This scheme will even be better for him in the run. Now, he's probably not going to be a double-digit sack guy, but Bradley Chubb has been very, very good against the run and good at getting to the quarterback most of his career. And again, not a guy that's going to lead the league in sacks, but he's just been excellent in all areas of that. And then they go out and get TJ Parker, who Brandon Bean compares to Bradley Chubb. Like, I think a big, big concerted effort this offseason from what they wanted to do as an organization and what Jim Leonard wanted to do was say, look, We are going to funnel everything inside. We're not going to get beat on the edges, and we have dudes who can still get to the quarterback there. It's not like we're neglecting it, but we're going to make sure that when you run on us, you're not going to be able to run to the edge, and we're going to have population in the middle anyway. So last year, that just didn't happen. They got beat on the edges too much. So I think that's part of this whole thing. Now, the variance part we didn't touch on, but that was corner I mentioned. You guys asked me about secondary. I wrote about safety today. Mm-hmm. Clearly, Bishop and Gardner Johnson, the two starters. C.J. Gardner-Johnson led the league in interceptions just a few years ago. I was doing the research today. I put a chart out. He has 20 interceptions in his NFL career. He is a ball hawk. You know what else he is? A guy that gets a little bit undisciplined on the field sometimes. Right. And I'm not talking about the stuff that they wouldn't want a guy like that on the team.
Right, he's a risk taker. A lot of turnovers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
He vacates his spot, right? Like, this is what we're looking at this year. But he's going to start. He's going to play. They want that guy. And pairing him with Cole Bishop, who they can move around, I think is exactly what they want. And then I'm a little concerned about safety depth as well. But honestly, like, you have veterans in there. Damar Hamlin, Geno Stone. Like, those guys can step in, give you a floor, understand what they're supposed to do. And if that's the case, and then I really, really am super interested in Jalen Kilgore because he's really kind of an ultimate chess piece.
Yeah, I feel like Kilgore, like, I would expect, Sal, I don't know, maybe you'll say different here, but you mentioned Stone and Hamlin. I'm guessing there's only room for one of them.
Agreed.
Right.
Sam Franklin's probably making the team.
Right.
He's a safety who plays special teams, but you at least have him in break glass in case of emergency at safety.
Right. But Kilgore's the fourth guy there, I think.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. I think third, fourth, however you want to clear. Now look, this might open the door for Jordan Hancock again.
Yeah.
I think they're gonna have him at slot corner, it appears, behind D. Alford, who's entrenched there. I think he's your starter going in. But maybe that's position flexibility to say, we could keep Jordan Hancock, and he can also move back there a little bit. Didn't go great for him last year when he had to play a little bit, but didn't go great for Cole Bishop his rookie year either. And then look at the ascension last year.
I like your chart, top 20 active interception leaders, including C.J. Gardner-Johnson with 20, tied for 14th. There's Bills all over the place here. Trey White has 19. Rasul Douglas stopped by. He has 21. Jordan Poyer has 25 still active, and of course Darius Slay, with 28, tops the former or current Bills on this list. Harrison Smith, the active leader, with 39 picks. This is a tough. I would bomb on this list.
We don't know about his future yet either. He hasn't signed with anyone.
Harrison Smith. Yeah. I would just bomb on this list. Yeah. I don't know. Rod Woodson. I would say who's active. I don't know. I'm stumped already. I would be really bad at this one. Okay, so Bill's off for a while, obviously. You have more of these articles coming up, or are we almost done?
I have one more to do. That's special teams. We talked about that a little bit last week, earlier this week, whatever. I'm really curious about. We haven't seen Tyler Bass kick, right? I mean, like, what does that look like? So I'll touch on that more, but, that's what I'm thinking, first of all. What does that look like if they get to camp, and is he okay? And then there's going to be a punting battle. I, at this point, would expect the draft pick to win the punting battle, but you never know. He might show up and not be able to handle, whatever in the NFL. That's Tommy Doman. Mitch Wishnowsky is on the team. And then Reed Ferguson. One of the things I was thinking about today, guys, I went to the 2016 draft. Now, Reed wasn't drafted, but he came into the league in 2016. He's the longest tenured Bill, meaning on the team for, longer than anybody consecutively. And there's like 40 or 50 people still in the league from the 2016 draft. I'm sure there's some that are undrafted free agents, but here's Reed Ferguson still just doing his thing, which is really cool.
Tommy Doman, 7th round pick, one of 3 by the Bills,
yeah.
The punter out of Florida.
They really liked him. I mean, they did a. I want people to understand, like, the Bills did a lot of research on punters this year. Like, one thing, and it was so funny, Brad Reiter keeps saying, Sal, you kept coming on here and say they're drafting a punter. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm telling you, like, I knew for a while they were really into punters at the combine. The new stadium is a big deal. The new special teams coordinator, like, they really went deep on punters this year.
Not like the 81 Colts.
This is so interesting. This is such a nugget to be walking around with. Like, I mean, I saw you out and about yesterday, and probably people are like, hey, what's shaking? But the Bills are really doing work on punters.
I know, right?
Is he left-footed? Remember the left-footed Belichick thing for a while there where nobody sort of realized he was only hiring left-footed punters because the spin is different? And then, I don't know, did we all do that after that got out? Or we all realized it? But not like the 81 Colts, Sal. If the Bills really cared about punters, they would have picked one in the second round, like the 82 draft, the Colts that year.
I don't think times have changed, though. These punters are such great athletes with big legs. You don't need to draft one in the second round if you want one and like one and whatever. These guys are they can do everything. This kid actually kicked off when he's at Michigan, grew up in Michigan, played in colder weather. Like, I'm telling you guys, like, these things mattered.
Yeah, no need to do that. All right, thanks for fitting us in today, Sal.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
We're at 3-2 England.
Someone other than Kane scored. That's allowed.
Bellingham.
Yeah.
Jude Bellingham?
He spent a minute at Man United. I remember them chasing him down from a team in Germany. It was a big deal.
Has Croatia ever heard of a word called defense? Have they ever thought about that?
Well,
every time I look up, they're just getting swamped.
Yeah.
But they're still in it. 3-2. England. We have a game in Toronto tonight. Panama and Ghana. Your Panama.
My Panama. Go Panama.
And then we have a late one in Mexico. Uzbekistan and Colombia. See, Colombia. I'm like Valderrama.
I'm gonna choose to read about that one.
Your streak ends.
I'm not going to make it to that game. No, I'm not going to make it to that game.
I intend to, and I know I will. I've watched a minute or more of every game, much more. Usually.
Even midnight last night, right?
Oh, yeah. I watched almost the entire first half last night.
Wow.
Austria-Jordan.
That's how we're different. I only made it through the first half of the Argentina game, which was at 9.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I have a streak going.
I don't want it as much as you.
Right. I have a streak going. Saturday's going to be tough.
You're on the road with lacrosse?
Yep. That's going to be... I've got to get it on my phone on Saturday. Mm. Just, you know, peek. And I have a draft.
Oh, boy.
Saturday's going to be kind of complicated, but still great. Paul Hamilton coming up. The Sabres have traded Michael Kesselring to San Jose today and moved up in the first round, for the gesture. From 27 to 20 in round one. The NHL draft is in Buffalo next weekend. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Also coming up, Brian Koziol. It's that day. One of my favorite days. Four times a year on this show is the Pick 10 picks. Brian comes on. The U.S. Open starts tomorrow. And right. Bulldog has the picks. He's like, it's already done. The tweet is written. He's like Ian Harditz scheduling tweets.
Mm-hmm.
It's all set.
I didn't schedule it. I'll just go into drafts and launch it. I haven't figured out how to schedule these things.
That's fine. You don't want to admit to that. Next with Paul after the update here on WGR.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.